Chapter 2. Chisholm Prison. Chisholm Prison was a large building. It was 4 floors high and stood in the center of a large open space. The wall around it was 6 meters high and impossible to climb. Even if a man managed to escape from his cell, he could not pass over the wall. The yard around the building was 8 meters wide on all sides. This was the distance from the prison building to the wall. During the day, prisoners used the yard to do exercises. But it was not for those prisoners in cell 13. There were always 4 armed guards in the yard, 1 for each side of the building. At night, strong lights illuminated the yard and the wall. The wires that carried electricity to these lights ran up the walls of the building. The thinking machine saw and understood all these things. He had to stand on his bed to see out of the small barred window. It was the morning after his incarceration. He soon realized that somewhere on the other side of the wall there was a river, because he could hear the sound of a boat and saw a river bird in the sky. From the same direction, he heard the sound of children playing baseball, so he knew that there was a children's playground between the prison wall and the river. No man had ever escaped from Chisholm Prison, and it was easy to see why. The walls of the cell were perfectly solid, and the bars on the window were new. And in any case, the window itself was too small to escape through. But this didn't discourage the thinking machine. He looked up at the light and saw how the wire went from it to the wall of the prison building. He realized that the wire passed near the window of his cell. That could be useful. Cell 13 was on the same floor as the prison offices. The thinking machine couldn't see the ground through the window of his cell. However, there were only 4 steps up to the office floor. Therefore, the cell must be near the ground. Good. The thinking machine remembered how he had come to the cell. First, there was the outside guard's room, which formed part of the wall next to the prison gates. There was always 1 guard at these gates who let people come into the prison and then let them out again when the warden told him to. The warden's office was in the prison building. From the yard, you had to pass through a solid steel door to get to it. The door had only 1 small hole in it to see who was there. Then, between the office and cell 13, there was a heavy wooden door and 2 steel doors in the corridors of the prison. Then, of course, there was the door of cell 13.
"There are 7 doors between cell 13 and freedom,"
thought the thinking machine.
"It will not be easy, but there are advantages. I am alone here. Nobody looks at what I am doing. There is 1 guard who brings my food 3 times a day at 6 o'clock in the morning, at noon, then again at 6 in the afternoon. And then there is the inspection at 9 o'clock, but that is all."
There was nothing, absolutely nothing in his cell, except a bed that was strongly made and impossible to dismantle. There was no chair, no table, no cup or fork or spoon. Nothing. The guard watched him while he ate and took away his plate and spoon as soon as he had finished. The thinking machine considered all these facts very carefully. Then he began an examination of his cell. He examined the stones in the walls and roof and the cement between them. He walked over the floor many times, but it was solid cement. After the examination, he sat on his bed and thought for a long time. Because Professor Augustus S.F.X. Van Dusen had something to think about. Suddenly, he was disturbed by a rat, which ran across his foot and disappeared into a dark corner of the cell. The thinking machine looked hard into the corner. After some time, he saw several pairs of yellow eyes looking back at him. Then, for the first time, the thinking machine noticed the bottom of his cell door. There was a space of about 5 centimeters between the steel bar and the floor. The thinking machine walked into the corner where the rats were, but he continued to look at the door. The rats were afraid and tried to escape. There was the sound of running feet and several squeaks, and then silence. None of the rats had gone out the door, yet the cell was now empty. Therefore, there must be another way out of the cell, even if it was very small. He got down on his hands and knees and began to look for the opening. Finally, he found it. It was a small circular hole in the floor, about 4 centimeters in diameter.
So this is how the rats escaped. Interesting.
He put his hand in the hole. It seemed to be an old drain pipe. The thinking machine sat on the bed and thought for an hour. Then he looked once more outside his cell window. One of the outside guards stood directly opposite, beside the wall. He was looking at the window of cell 13 when the thinking machine's large head appeared. But the professor didn't see the guard. At 12 o'clock, the cell 13 guard brought the thinking machine his food. It was horrible, but the thinking machine didn't mind. He wasn't interested in food. He spoke to the guard, who watched him as he ate.
"Have they made any modifications here in the last few years?"
asked the thinking machine. "Not really," said the guard. "They built the new wall 4 years ago."
"Have they done anything to the prison building?"
"Well, they painted the outside, and then 7 years ago they had a new plumbing system installed."
"Ah, I see,"
said the prisoner.
"How far is the river over there?"
"About 100 meters. The boys have a baseball ground between the wall and the river." The thinking machine had nothing more to say, but when the guard was ready to go, he asked for some water.
"I get very thirsty here,"
he explained.
"Could I have some water in a cup, please?"
"I'll ask the warden," replied the guard, and he went away. Half an hour later, he returned with a small cup. "The warden says you may keep this cup," he told the prisoner, "but you must show it to me when I ask for it. If you break it, I won't give you another one."
"Thank you,"
said the thinking machine.
"I won't break it."
2 hours later, the same guard was passing the door of cell 13. He heard a noise and stopped. The thinking machine was on his hands and knees in a corner of the cell. There was the sound of several squeaks. The guard watched him.
"Ah, I've got you,"
he heard the prisoner say.
"What have you got?" said the guard.
"One of these rats,"
he replied.
"See?"
The guard saw a rat in the thinking machine's hands. The prisoner carried it towards the light.
"It's a water rat,"
he said.
"Haven't you got anything better to do than catch rats?" asked the guard.
"It's terrible that there are rats in this prison,"
said the thinking machine.
"Take this one away and kill it. There are many more where it came from."
The guard took the rat and killed it. Later, he told the warden about the incident, but the warden only smiled. Later that afternoon, the armed guard in the yard outside cell 13 saw the prisoner look out and put a hand through the bars of the window. Something white fell slowly to the ground. It was a roll of linen from a shirt, and wrapped around it was a $5 bill. The guard looked up at the window again, but the face was no longer there. With a smile, he took the cloth and the $5 bill to the warden's office. There was something written on the outside of the cloth in strange ink. It said,
"Please deliver to Dr. Charles Ransom."
"Ha!"
said the warden.
"His first plan of escape has failed. But why did he address it to Dr. Ransom?"
"And where did he get the pen and ink to write with?" added the guard.
The warden looked at the guard, and the guard looked at the warden. There was no easy solution to the mystery. The warden studied the writing carefully.
"Well, let's see what he wanted to say to Dr. Ransom,"
he said. He unrolled the second piece of linen.
"Well, if that... What do you think of that?"
he asked, extremely confused. The guard took the piece of linen and read,
"Epa xeat dnyet nyawe tu si si t."